Ephesians chapter 2, please, in our Bibles. We've already finished a whole chapter of God's Word. It only took us 8 weeks. That wasn't too bad. Ephesians chapter 2 in our Bibles. And we're going to look at the first three verses together this evening. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So the title of our message tonight is, "Who Were Dead? Who Were Dead?" Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us, to grow us, to change us. And I pray we'd be listening and learning and allowing you to work in our lives tonight. So we give you this service. Pray you'll be glorified in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That word quickened, that's a good word. And for us as believers, that's an important word. It means to give life. The Bible says, "You hath he quickened." God is writing to Christians, and he says to us that we have been quickened. That means to be given new life. If you go to John chapter 6, we will find out the source of that quickening. John chapter 6, where Jesus Christ is giving his discourse on the bread of life. John chapter 6, down in verse 63. Notice here, John 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." It is only God who can quicken. Because God is life. God is the source of life. And so if we're going to receive life, we must receive it from God who quickens. You know, the Bible says that eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Life is all based upon the Lord. And as we'll see, those who are in the Lord have life, and those who are not do not have life. Life and death in the Bible are nothing in relation to what the world thinks about when they think about life and death. They're completely different. And we'll talk more about that. But the Bible tells us, if you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if we are saved, we have been given a new life. That's what it means to be quickened, to get a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, most of you know this verse, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God gives us new life. He makes us a new creature when we get saved. And that's why the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." So God quickens us when we're saved, because before we were saved, notice back in our passage, Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, "Who were dead?" It's talking about us. And so, even though we're physically alive, until we get saved, we are spiritually dead. And it's interesting because then, when we get saved, now we're spiritually alive, but the old man has been crucified and is dead. Now, he still hangs around and gives us a lot of trouble. But doctrinally speaking, he's dead. So, when we become Christian, it swaps. The old man dies, and the Spirit is given life, and we're made a new man. So before we were saved, notice it says, we're dead. We're dead. The Bible teaches that every single human being is born dead. You know, we talk about the birth, and we celebrate the birth of new people at the hospital, and they get a birth certificate, but they're all dead. It's really fascinating when you think about it. that we're born into this world as a dead person. And until we get saved, we stay a dead person. And if we don't get saved, we stay a dead person forever. That's why we're told in Revelation 20, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's the continuation of death forever. So, yes, sir. There is. That's actually very good. So write that down and put it in the question box. The age of innocence he's asking about, and there is such a thing. I think the Bible clearly teaches that, especially in passages in Romans that talk about us not having sin without the law, not having sin without a consciousness of right and wrong, that the Bible teaches, I believe, that until we can understand the consequences of our sin, that we're not yet accountable for our sin. And you know, that's why a lot of churches baptize babies, right? Because they think it protects them in some way until they can understand for themselves. Baptizing babies isn't in the Bible because it's not necessary. Baptism is, you just get wet. It's a public declaration. But a lot of people put a lot of stock into it, trying to protect the babies. The babies don't need protected. They're protected by our Lord until they can understand it. And that's something we could maybe talk about on Sunday night as a good study. But definitely, the Bible teaches that babies are safe. They're dead, but they're safe until they become accountable for their sin. And that happens when they have a consciousness of the consequences of right and wrong. Because, that's again, Romans teaches that we have a conscience. And that we can understand that there's a God, we can understand there's a creation, we can understand there's right and wrong, and what we choose to do with that conscience is up to us. And so when a child reaches that age, and it's not a set age, you know, there were some churches ages ago that tried to say it was 12, and some tried to say it was 5. It's no set age. It's based a lot on their background and what they've been taught, you know, and so forth. But good point, Brother Mark. So the Bible teaches that if you go to 1 Corinthians 6:9, that this is what separates those who go to heaven from those who don't go to heaven. It's all about life and death. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You can show this to an average person on the street and they'll say, "Well, who's the unrighteous?" And if you know your Bible, you know the Bible says we're all unrighteous. So that's a problem, isn't it? We have to be made righteous, justification, to be able to go to heaven. But the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because until we're saved, we are unrighteous, we're dead. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:14, if you would. Another passage that teaches about this death. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all," 2 Corinthians 5:14, "then we're all dead." Which is what I was just explaining earlier. All dead. Every person is dead until they get life. And that is the quickening power of salvation that comes from God when we get saved. God gives us new life. Go to John chapter 5, verse 24. One of my favorite verses. I always write this in the Bibles of new believers when they get saved, because it says so much to encourage them and give them that confidence of their salvation. Notice John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." So there it is, a present possession. It doesn't mean they will have it. It says they have it now. "Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." But notice the last phrase. "But is passed from death unto life." Passed from death unto life. That's what happens when we get saved. We're passed from death unto life. We go from being one of the dead to being one of the living. Now, while you're in John, look at chapter 11. Jesus Christ here taught a little mini lesson on this while he was talking to Mary and Martha about their dead brother Lazarus, just before he brought him back from the dead. And notice what he said here in John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So notice, though he were dead. Now he's using Lazarus, obviously, as an object lesson. But he's saying, if you will believe on me, though you were dead, you will be alive. You will receive life. We have to have that life to go to heaven. And the Bible teaches that the judgment is going to be two groups of people. So there'll be two judgments. And notice 2 Timothy 4 tells us about those two judgments. 2 Timothy 4:1. And it basically breaks the world up into two groups of people. 2 Timothy 4:1. God says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now we already know what quicken means. It means to give life. So the quick are the alive and the dead are the dead. God's going to judge both. Praise God, our judgment is not for sin. Our judgment is for works. But the dead's judgment, that's a different story. And that's detailed for us in Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at that quickly. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, where we see this judgment of the dead. Now we know about the judgment of the quick. That's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians 3 and other places, called the judgment seat of Christ. But here, this last judgment, often referred to as the great white throne judgment, is the judgment of the dead. Notice chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 12. And I saw who? The dead, small and great, stand before God. I can hear someone saying, well, how can dead people stand? You see it all the time. Every time you go to town, you see dead people standing. I saw the dead stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Interesting. They're not judged out of the book of life because they're not in it. They're judged out of these other books. We aren't told exactly what these books are, but I'm guessing it might be a record of every sin. Imagine that. According to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So it's all these dead being delivered up at this judgment and being judged. And sure enough, verse 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The dead stay dead forever. How sad is that? So the gospel is all about offering life so people can be quickened by Jesus Christ and have new life and no longer be one of the dead. So Paul said here in Ephesians, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now he goes on to say in Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked. And so what he's saying is, Christians used to walk like dead people. All we just did what was natural. We acted like dead people. And with spiritually dead people, it's all about sin, which is what he says, verse 2, according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the disobedience. Our father was the devil. John 8:44, Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. And we walked according to his course, according to his plan. He was our master. He told us what to do. We just followed our flesh. We just followed the devil. That was time past. We walked that way. 1 Corinthians 6:11, if you return there, Paul reemphasizes this, that this should be our past. Sadly, sometimes Christians still walk in that way, but we shouldn't. We're supposed to have a new walk. But notice 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says, "And such were some of you." And just before he says that in verses 9 and 10, he starts listing all of these sinful practices in 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10. And then in verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you." You used to be that. You used to act like that. You used to walk that way. Wherein in time past you walked that way. But he's saying, shouldn't anymore. We're not dead anymore. We're alive now. And yet we walked according to the course of this world. And again, sadly, sometimes Christians still do. But God says that we are not to follow the devil. We're not to be friends of the world. That we have a new life. And as we read there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're supposed to walk what's already doctrinally true. We're not dead anymore. Now we're alive. We're supposed to walk like living people who have gotten their life from Almighty God and are trying to walk like God. But sure enough, unfortunately, sometimes people revert back. But let's look at that verse in John 8. I quoted it, a piece of it, John 8:44, just so you can see that the Bible makes it clear that if you're not saved, God is not your Father. Universalism is not taught in the Bible. This teaching that by nature, by virtue of the fact that God created us, we're all His children. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. Now, the Pharisees, they thought that God was their Father because they were Jews. They thought that made them safe. And Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees, said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." They didn't appreciate his preaching very much, because he told them the truth, that they were children of the devil. Who wants to be told that? But before we were saved, we were too. We were dead. We were followers of Satan. He was our father. Praise God, we have a new father now. We have a new life. We're not dead anymore. And the Bible says back in our passage, Ephesians 2:3, "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." And this is what Christians need to get a hold of, is when we get saved, we transform from death to life and get a new nature. We already saw where we're a new creature. We even get a new nature. Here's the tough part, though. Before we're saved, we have one nature. And that's the nature of dead people. The nature of following the flesh. The nature of following our father, the devil. After we get saved, now we have two. Because the old one's still hanging around. Now, he's been doctrinally crucified, but he's still there. And now we have this new nature, and the two are battling all the time. And you know that's true, unless there's someone here that's never sinned since they got saved. The battle never stops between the new nature and the old nature. Go to 2 Peter 1 and we'll see about this new nature that we receive at salvation. When we receive new life from God, God doesn't just give us life. God gives us Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost and literally moves in and makes us His temple and gives us a new nature. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, where the Bible shows us that we get this new nature. 2 Peter 1 4. The Bible says, "Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Partakers of the divine nature. That's what Paul means in Romans 6 when he says, "Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We are supposed to be reckoning what's already true. I'm a new creature. I have a new nature. I have a new home. I have new life. I should be acting like it. And that's the main point that Paul's trying to get across in Ephesians 2, is that we need to be walking like we are. We're alive. We need to be walking like we're alive people, not dead people, to choose to put on that new man. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible explains this, which we'll get to this passage, but Ephesians chapter 4 explains the need to do just that. Make it doctrinally, not only doctrinally true, but practically true. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." Well, what happened to the old man? He's crucified. "Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind," verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." How's that happen? Well, he kind of explains part of it there in verse 23 when he says to be renewed. There's only one thing on earth that we know of that has the power to renew us, and you're holding it in your laps. We need to be in the Word. And that helps us to be constantly putting on that new man and putting off that old man. He's dead, but he's still there, causing us trouble. We're new now. We have a new everything, new destiny. We have a new life. We have a new father. We're in a new family. We've been adopted in a new family. It's all new. And God says, put that man on. And that's by the way, a daily effort on our part to put on the new man and put off the old man and live like someone that's got new life. So remember, when you meet people, when you work with people, if they're not saved, they're dead. They need life. We have life, praise God. We got it through Jesus Christ when we trusted Him. But they need it too, or they're going to face that judgment we read about in Revelation chapter 20. We don't want anybody to have to face that judgment. So let's tell them. Jesus died so that death could be conquered. Right? 1 Corinthians 15 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And Jesus died and rose again to make that possible, to show that He had the power over death and that it no longer can have dominion over us if we will just but become part of Him through salvation. And what a great lesson that is. So, praise God, we have life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word and this great truth, great reminder of what You did for us through salvation, that You helped us to pass from death unto life. And I pray that we will walk as children of life, children of light, and tell others how they can have the same, to be rescued from death through Jesus Christ our Savior. And Lord, may we walk as You want us to walk and rejoice along the way of what You've done for us. And we ask You even to use us this week. Give us those opportunities. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.